Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Glasgow win, Edinburgh lose, and Dave Rennie tells you how to recycle. Here we go. All right, welcome back. Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. To my left, there is Matt. How are you, pal?
Good, mate. How are you?
Very, very well. And Alan, how are you, mate?
I'm all right.
I know it's early, but I mean, you look like it's really fucking early.
Well, it was up quite late as well. I've only had about 5 hours sleep. I'm not looking good.
This is commitment to the pod. Thanks again for joining us, guys. We are here before work bringing you your weekly installment of Scottish Rugby. So we are going to be getting into the news and then looking back at Glasgow's win and Edinburgh's loss. You've been chatting to us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Podcast. On Instagram. I don't think we've done anything on Instagram, but we'll start that up again. Thistle_rugby_pod. And you will not believe, lads, we have got two new emails.
Woo!
And thistlerugby@gmail.com. I'll start us off with one of that. Andrew Nimmo writes in the emails, great fun listening to the pod, 5 stars, right balance of banter, analysis and interviews, fantastic to listen to during the week to stoke the excitement for upcoming Glasgow, Edinburgh or Scotland matches, filling an important gap and covering Scottish rugby at a very exciting time. Please give a shout out to my friend down south, Chris.
No more details given. Well, if he's a listener, then I'm sure that'll be appreciated.
Chris.
Who lives down south.
Down south. So that could be the borders. It could be anywhere in England or Wales or anything further south. So Chris, if you are listening, thanks a lot for coming along. Well done covering for me last week, Alan. You were very good, I thought.
I thought we were missing something.
Were you missing something?
I wasn't feeling it. Were you not? I wasn't feeling it. It's good to have the gang good back.
It is great to be back as a three, and I know the listeners like it when we're all together.
Yeah.
How are you feeling post-vegan retreat? You don't look any different.
No.
So. You look worse, actually. I'd say.
Literally the one of the worst investments I've ever seen.
I was suicidal by the end of the week. It was awful. No, it was great. And I listened to the pod lying on the beach in Italy last week.
It's always nice to do that on holiday, isn't it?
Real nice treat to be getting into some gritty Scottish rugby analysis when you're sunning yourself. Or in my case, lying in the shade because I'm super pale. Right, enough about us. Should we get into the news and the talking points from the week? You guys have sent us in lots on Twitter, which we're going to pick up throughout the pod. But I think we're going to have to start with some bad news. Two of Scotland's great centres suffering very serious injuries last week. Should we start with Mark Bennett and then go into Duncan Taylor? What were your views on Mark Bennett's injury?
I mean, it's just another run of sort of bad luck for him.
Yeah, it's awful.
I guess there's a lot of debate over whether... I can't remember who made the ruck clear out.
I think it was Kutsia and someone else. It was like a sort of two-man... One of the crocodile rolls, as they keep calling
them. Which sort of means your knee stays... Like your boots are still in the ground and the rest of your body gets twisted
and
away.
And it's kind of a bit of a neck roll element to it as well, which they have been trying to stamp out.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens so many times in a game.
Yeah.
That it's not as if, you know, they were hard done by in that instance and it was deliberate or anything. It is just clearly a way that they're being taught to get people out of the way.
That being said, Richard Cockerell's come out and he says he thinks it's fine. He didn't see it as an illegal sort of challenge. He's just like, that is rugby these days.
Yeah, I don't think it's currently illegal. It's just, it's really dangerous.
Yeah.
The whole, any way that you clear out someone who's got in a good body position, either you fire in like a torpedo,
yeah,
or you do the roll. Both of which are really horrible and dangerous.
That's the thing. Yeah. The number of clear outs that people have got absolutely no intention of binding or staying on their feet.
How'd you bind them? Imagine like running into a ruck.
This is not the right forum.
I know, I'm just saying. It's all part of it.
Collectively, we've hit less than 10 rucks in our rugby careers.
I definitely never ran in full pelt as well.
Imagine how much it would hurt.
Oh, be horrific.
Absolutely not.
It's a shame though.
Mark Bennett, and then Duncan Taylor, playing in the A-League for Saracens, ruptured his anterior and his posterior cruciate ligament. And he's out for the whole season.
But they're optimistic he'll be back for the World Cup.
God, the World Cup's so far away, though.
Yeah, I know.
Someone made a good point on Twitter asking, why can't all of our centres be fit at the same time?
I know.
It seems to be whenever one of them comes back, another one, you know, drops down injured. Yeah. It's such a shame. And the fact that, I think I mentioned it last week, the fact that Duncan Taylor has had so many like concussion injuries and issues, and then to come back, and I was thinking it would be another concussion, but to do something completely different and so badly, just... Oh. Saying like what kind of luck am I meant to have here?
Coming back from an ACL, I mean,
potentially career ending.
It is potentially.
He's what, 30 plus?
High 20s.
Okay. High 20s, I'd say. He's not.
But
like that,
even when you look at our other centres at the moment, like Hugh Jones seems to be picking up injuries all the time. He's just like little one. I know he had his wrist operation over the summer, and then Dunbar is just struggling all the time with injuries, and it's sort of. Weirdly, sort of last year, when obviously Taylor was sort of having a smashing summer tour and Hugh Jones looked like literally God's gift to Scotland, it's kind of gone back now. We're getting a little bit worried about that depth in the centres.
Is this part of your Chris Dean campaign?
I'm just saying, the man doesn't get injured.
The man.
A few little Hugh Jones videos.
I don't think he's ever seen it been injured.
Well, Hugh Jones is on the plane to Johannesburg with Glasgow Warriors. I expect he'll probably not play... Maybe we'll play in Cape Town next weekend as opposed to...
Why would he be playing in Cape Town?
They're definitely going to Cape Town as part of their tour. That may be for downtime.
I mean, there's literally no team in the Pro 14 from Cape Town. So
going down there. I listened to that the Glasgow Warriors pod.
Come on, don't talk about that, mate.
Sorry, fuck. It was terrible. Right, so get well soon, Mark and Duncan. Really sorry to hear those. Right. Few other little bits and pieces that have come out this week. Pre-World Cup warm-up match, Scotland versus France. They're going to be playing at the big stadium down in Nice. It's really nice. The Alliance Stadium where...
Was that a joke on purpose? It's really nice.
Too early.
It's bad.
It is really nice. Seems to be seeing... Some people are seeing it through the lens of the SRU's continuing sort of like courtship of Allianz, the big insurer.
No, stop just investing in Nice.
I mean, there's a link, clearly, but...
I had a look. Stade Niçois, 2 from 2 this year.
Ooh.
Are there any Scots actually playing?
I looked all the way in this morning, so about half an hour on the phone. I was looking to find a team sheet from the last match, and I couldn't find one. They've got like Dave Chaya, Bruce Falkart.
No, they've all come back now. So there's a new bunch that's gone out, one of whom's Hamish Bain. I'm not sure who the other ones are.
They also have, in that case, they haven't updated.
They haven't updated. No, I checked that. It's not a great website.
100% Dodson's getting paid like a Nice Villa on the side for this.
I reckon it's going to become Allianz Murrayfield. Heard it here first. I think that's what they're aiming for.
Fine.
Once the BT deal runs out,
fine.
It's going to become the Allianz at Murrayfield, like Sports Direct at St. James Park. That great success story. So that's good. That's the first of our two matches, I think, we're playing against France pre-World Cup.
I think we've got 4 warm-ups in total.
And then we're playing 2 home and away against Georgia as well. So that's the first one. Down in the south of France, that's going to be a hell of a trip.
We should go.
We should go. I think let's do that. Speaking of foreign-based rugby, there was a tweet that went out that caused an awful lot of trouble this week. One of the Super 6 teams, an unnamed Super 6 team, using a recruitment consultant to attract a foreign 10 to come and join the Super 6. So, you know...
It's grist to the mill of the Super 6 haters. Like that was going... Amongst a very niche segment of Twitter, going viral and getting people very upset.
Like, that is about as...
Fair enough, it's not. It doesn't look very good. And the fact that, you know... Until Finn Russell came along, Standoff was a problem position for the last 20 years. in reality. And we, you know, it's still a problem in terms of if Finn Russell goes down, we're a bit screwed. So to see that is just a bit of a kick in the teeth.
And you say the tweet's been taken down now.
The tweet has been taken down.
Who at the SAU's had words?
I think Dalton.
Scott Johnson.
Straight from the top.
Come straight from the top. Dalton's cracked down. We've had the SAU censorship this week, so you know.
I mean,
we know what happens.
Is there six semi-professional level 10s playing in the Premiership?
No. It's a fair point.
But yeah, I appreciate that. Part of what the Super Six is to develop professional players for the Scottish game. So, I mean, yeah. It just, the optics look terrible. Oh,
so bad. But from bad to the positive, the SP Energy Networks, who make those really great logos on the Glasgow shirt, are now going to be putting that great logo on all the women's shirts as well.
I actually had a bit of a debate last night. Why are SP Energy Networks sponsoring the shirt? Like, what are they getting out of this? Not just for the women's game, but for Glasgow as well.
Some new customers. People love switching energy bills. Have you not done it before? It's such a joyous experience.
Are we getting sponsored by SP Energy Networks? I don't know. I'd take it.
I would, if I got free energy for life, done. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Free energy for life. That's our price.
That is my price right there. I think... You know, going back to a conversation with Don McKay, though, I think it's great that the women's team have got potentially the clout now that they can carve out their own deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
And I think it's just great to see the investment in the women's game. And Matt, I believe you're going to be speaking to Jade Conkle. Is it today or tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm having a chat with her today, all the way from France. She's just been nominated for Player of the Year in the France equivalent of the Top 14. So... Heady nice. Times to her. So we're just going to have a word, talk about her life down there and women's rugby in Scotland overall.
Sounds great. So we'll be dropping that into our pod next week. So make sure you come back for that. Matt, do you want to take us through the second round of games from the Tennent's Premiership?
Of course. Absolute
also
pleasure.
Also, Tennent's, if you want to sponsor this pod.
Free beer for life. I'll take that.
Free beer and free energy.
I love Tennent's.
What else did you do?
Tennent's.
You're warm and hydrated.
what a great product.
So, going through the results, Glasgow Hawks, I think, are going to have quite a tough time of it this season. They have a pretty young team, and they shipped 50 away to Melrose, which is never an easy place to go, but it looked boys against men there. Heriots won the City Derby, beating Watsonians 28-24 in a close one.
Absolute
Hawks, once again, looked like if there was relegation, they'd be favourites. 63-7 against Burmuir. And Ayr looking kind of like the team to beat at the moment, putting Curry to the sword, 30-17.
Thanks very much for that, Matt. We have listened to you guys say they want us to cover a little bit more of the Premiership within the pod. So what we've done is we're going to be working with Scottish rugby journalist Gary Heatley. As of next week, he's going to be sending us in his Premiership roundup of the week. So that's going to become part of the Thistle. So you can come here, you get all of your Scottish rugby news in one place. So we're really looking forward to working with Gary.
Can we chat about the mixed Jumel Heriot shirt that's been released? Yes. Oh my God, it is horrendous.
It's horrendous if you're involved at a club. I actually don't, looking at the strip, it's not that bad.
No.
It's not that bad.
They just, as a colour palette, it just doesn't work for me.
I don't think it's that bad.
If you've not seen it, it's on our Twitter, at Thistle Rugby Pod. This is the merger of the sort of the lower teams of Heriots and Jumel. It kind of looks like they've just gone, right, how can we do this? We'll take the bottom half of the Heriot shirt and the top half of the Jumel shirt. That's fine.
That's literally what it is.
They've not tried to make any sort of new identity. It's just like,
you know, a few things coming up on social media recently. Some real Jumel stalwarts having to put on a full Heriot strip before this. It's just quite sad.
It's like
to
one
see.
Of those stitched up like Rangers and Celtic shirts that you get. Like,
or like a Scotland Ireland where it's four quadrants for people exactly. who like both teams.
I've enjoyed quite a lot of Jumel FPs putting up comments like, "Father, I have sinned," as they're in like Heriot's strips. Wearing the Heriot strips.
Absolutely love that. And the other thing that's it's not strictly news, but did you guys see Dave Rennie's advert for recycling in Scotstoun?
It's amazing.
No? Wait, what?
Oh, it's like a 10-second video on Twitter, and he's like, "Make sure you put your compostables in the recycling bin."
In the bun. And then he lifts up the bin and puts in a bottle. And then it's like 12 seconds. It's just ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
Is it for an actual brand or is it just to promote recycling?
It's not a brand, though.
It's not really an advert, but it was just like this weird video out of nowhere of Dave Rennie just putting stuff in the bin.
Fair. I love the Glasgow media team's content. Push out quite a lot of great cringe videos.
Yeah, they do. I mean, off the back of Ali Price's Sterling Furniture advert, yeah, it is just another, it's another great in the genre.
On the topic of Ali Price, the man lost 8 kilograms over the summer.
8 kegs.
Mate.
What's he carrying?
What diet is that lad on? I need to find that. We need to get him on the pod.
Let's find that out. Ali, you know you're listening. Come on the pod, tell us about the diet.
He must only be like, what, 80 kilograms?
Maybe a bit more.
Bit more, but still, like, he's not like...
80 to 85, probably. You
know, he's not like Simon Bergen, who's trying to drop from like 130 to like 122.
He probably got a little bit tired of everyone being like, oh, have you seen how fit George Horn is?
Yeah.
Heard of his Bronco score.
Bronco, man.
That's getting really boring.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
You can't have an article without George talking about how fit George Horn is.
And to be fair, he looked relatively sharp when he came on.
Yeah, he was good. It's great. If that's a reaction to George Horn coming through, Ali Price coming out of his little bit of a doldrum last year, that's only going to be a good thing. Okay, so that's all of the news, I think. There'll probably be some more. Team news is coming up later today. This is Thursday morning, so we'll be putting that out on our social channels, so keep an eye on that. How bad is the way Glasgow lay out their team sheets, by the way?
Why do they do that? They're the only team that does it.
I really don't know. I hate it.
It's confusing.
Make team sheets normal again. That would be good. right. But Glasgow are 2 from 2. They are top of the conference. They got a good win at home. Really good win. 25-10 against Munster on Friday night. Tries from Gibbons, Hoggy, and try machine Adam Ash. Hoggy kicking the conversions. And then pen from Horn and pen from Hoggy. What did you guys make of it? I mean, I think the main talking point is Glasgow's pack, they're looking solid.
Yeah, I think it's obviously hard to take too much away, sort of 2 games into season, but the balance of that front row with Ollie Kebble, Fraser Brown, and Xander Ferguson is one of the most exciting things, I think, going into this season.
Their scrum is absolutely motoring.
But the thing is, I think Xander Ferguson's been doing much more in the loose, and therefore... You can, and because you've got Ollie Kebble in the scrum, you don't have to worry about him in the scrum. So you've got a nice balance of, you've got one absolute scrumming beast.
Ferguson's sort of been the point of contact for a lot of attacks as well.
He's been standing at first receiver and then just short passes inside outside to sort of move the point of contact. And he had at least one which he put to the deck at the weekend. But broadly speaking, his skill set looks really, really decent.
Yeah.
I think you forget it was Xander Ferguson. He's what, 23, 24?
Yeah.
He's still so young.
If that. I think he's only about 22.
And I think playing in that front row, and I don't know, Fraser Brown looked in great shape as well. He just looks solid as.
In the first half, I thought Fraser Brown was standout, man of the match.
Mm.
And obviously going into the Autumn Internationals, if he continues keeping that form, it'd be interesting to see whether they stick with Stuart McInally.
I doubt he'll displace McInally, but... I mean, it's a pretty incredible option to have off the bench.
We'll come on to talk about Edinburgh, but Rambo looked, you know, pretty decent.
Yeah, I get that.
He's still doing his thing.
But I generally thought that first 40 minutes, Fraser Brown looked like world class. Mm. And obviously, coming back from a lot of injuries, looking real good.
I'll tell you, Luke, he's made a massive difference to that. Adam Ash looks like he's come back. He's offering maybe just that little bit more of an abrasive carrier for Glasgow. Like, he's a big bloke. He's not enormous, but he seems to be doing something that they've been missing a little bit more, getting that little bit of go forward.
Yeah. And we discussed this last week, so we thought initially they'd probably drop Rob Harley and bring Adam Ash into the back row. Obviously, they drop Cummings and put Harley into the second row. But I think having Ash as that option as a first or second receiver just adds so much more to that Glasgow team.
He's a good ball player as well.
Yeah.
And it allows sort of Gibbons and Wilson to go and do their thing, which is, like, Gibbons is still looking absolutely class. I think Wilson started the season quite well as well. When we're not expecting him to do that hard yards ball carrying from number 8.
Yeah, I think I don't want him to do the hard yards ball carrying. I want him doing those clear outs, getting stuck in the ruck, because that's what he does best. And actually, I think when he feels like he has to take on the responsibility of ball carrying, I actually think that's when his performance dips quite considerably.
Yeah,
absolutely. We asked you guys for your talking points on Twitter, and Twitter celebrity G Love, Graham Love, said Adam Hastings.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Blossoming in front of our eyes, and I couldn't have put it better myself.
I mean, the only thing we've learned from this weekend is Adam Hastings is potentially related to Finn Russell in some way.
There is a chance.
Like, we're just going to have a second standoff who one week looks dog shit and one week looks a fucking superstar. But it is just like, that's exactly what he is.
At least Adam Hastings kind of looks like a rugby player, though.
That
Finn
is
Russell
true.
Does still look like a stonemason who's found his way onto a rugby pitch. Yeah.
I mean, fair. But again, you know, Hastings is got that very appears to have that very variable performance.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And
so how many you know first class starts has he had? Like less than 20?
Yeah,
yeah, you know? Definitely. Yeah.
Like, and the fact that he's still caps, yeah exactly. You know, the fact that he can still deliver those levels of performance with that little experience is pretty astonishing, really.
No,
I think he's constantly asking questions of defenses, possibly because they don't. He or they definitely don't know what he's up to.
Yeah.
But like you look at those little touches, like the little kick through for Hoggy to touch down for the second try was so nice.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Considering the dead ball area at Scotland's about half a metre long, you've only got so much to play with.
Yeah.
That was such a nice little touch. Mm. And it just seemed that he was constantly asking questions. And maybe he needs to work on his game management a little bit. I think that's absolutely right. But when you've got Pete Horn outside him and Hoggy, who is really looking like he's stepping up this year into that leadership role. Obviously, the drop goal against Connacht, but again, he just looks like such a serious proposition of that team, like really dragging them all forward.
Yeah, you're right.
Looks like he's got an edge to him this year.
He does. Yeah.
Looks like he means business.
Ever since he lost his hair, he's just looking hard.
Well, maybe it's because he knows it's his last season at Scotland.
Potentially.
Well, did you see that this week? Dave Rennie came out and said that Hoggy wants to stay.
Yes, I did see that. And Hogg's agent is like, yes, push up that price.
He does want to stay, but here are the seven figures that he'll stay for.
Yeah, exactly.
Quick, we don't want to get into too much of it, but quick thoughts. Should Glasgow fight to keep Hogg at the end of the year?
No.
I think they should. No, I don't think they should fight too hard, and I don't think that he should be paid like, you know, a massive sum. But then I kind of think him personally, whether he really likes Glasgow, whether he thinks it's best for his international career, and he has two kids, young family, whether he wants to uproot them. Also, he has to be like within 100 miles of Hoyke at all time, or else he spontaneously combusts.
So he's going to the Falcons.
He could go to the Falcons.
he's going to the Northeast.
I mean, you just got to.
He could live in Hoyke. And
Edinburgh's closer.
Imagine if Edinburgh is absolutely... Edinburgh roll in with a 1.5 million deal for Hogg.
You got to just do the 2 years at like Biarritz, get
Biarritz
1.2 million a year, and then come back to Hoyk, literally the king of Hoyk.
I reckon we'll go Montpellier.
Yes, no, yeah. Very easily.
Vern Cotter will just be like, I've got the money to pay for you.
I'll cut you the check.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, and that's absolutely what will happen.
Anything else we need to cover off on Glasgow?
How good is Rob Harley?
He had a good game.
He's in the boiler house and look at the scrum.
He loves a fight.
He must, clearly, I mean, for him to start these two games when you've arguably got the best team out, Dave Rennie must see something really handy in him.
Yeah, no, I think he does a job.
And is he a better second row than Scott Cummings?
I think he gets around the park more.
Yeah, in some senses, he probably is.
Mm. Yeah. I think one of the issues with Glasgow has always been, as we discussed a lot, is they're a very good Pro 14 side, potentially a pretty average European side.
Yeah.
Now, I know that Munster pack was missing quite a lot of big name players, but I think the pack performance, especially in the first half, was European standard.
Yeah, it was very good.
Which is a really, really good sign.
And while, I mean, Munster were missing, Omani and Stander and those sort of caliber of guys. But it's not bad Munster pack.
No.
Like, they are seasoned professionals. It's not the kids.
Mm.
Like, Leinster are just sending, like, their under-15s around at the moment.
Yeah.
They've got so much strength and depth. It is scary. But Glasgow, 2-2. They roll on top of whichever conference they're in. We're not very good at knowing which ones that is. Edinburgh, on the other side of the coin, are not from two. A couple of very close results. They lost literally the last kick of the game against Ulster. 30 points to 29 tries from Tom Brown and wee Jimmy Johnson. Hickey adding 5 pens and 2 conversions. At one stage, they were 22-6 up.
Yeah, something like that.
It's about 55, 60 minutes in, and you're thinking, here we go, this is it. And then the wheels came off. I mean, yes, Ulster stepped up their performance in that second half, but come on, Edinburgh, you can't be losing from there.
We desperately need a restart coach.
It is.
For Scottish rugby in general. I thought we'd maybe solved it. It hasn't seemed to come up in the last maybe year or so. But then it always rears its ugly head.
Yeah.
At crucial moments.
I mean, I rewatched it again this morning, the last couple of minutes. Obviously, the Hickey penalty, and you're thinking, that's it. And then I also think the whole Edinburgh pack, if not the whole Edinburgh team, thought, that's it as well. Because the restart itself, they just got beaten to the ball. Like, they were all kind of felt that they were out of position.
Yeah.
It wasn't a particularly amazing sort of, like, you know, one of the ones down the middle with, like, an Izzy Folau coming and, like, tapping it back. Like, it was a fairly okay kick. And they just got beaten to the ball.
When everyone, obviously, when Edinburgh got this throwing coach in, and everyone was like, oh, why haven't we been doing that for ages? There's got to be a restart consultant in New Zealand somewhere that you can just ship over.
They're all really good at it as well.
But do you even... But do you really need a restart consultant? Is it that complicated? Surely Richard Cockerell knows enough about rugby.
Is throwing that complicated?
No, I agree with that as well.
Like, it's true.
Throwing's more technical than restarts.
Yeah.
It's, you know, surely it just takes a couple of sessions. Surely it doesn't take that much longer to be like, right, you know where to stand. You know you're lifting. You know what it's... If it goes short, you've got it. If it goes long, you've got it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Here's a few blockers. And if you're a full-on restart consultant, you're working about an hour and a half a day, and then you're sort of just wandering around trying to fill your time.
Maybe I'll just create that job for myself, just sort of like slip in a CV and just sort of turn up and be like, just stand here, maybe.
I reckon you could watch every sort of like New Zealand match for the last season on YouTube or wherever it is, and then just be like, right, that's what they're doing. You are now a fully qualified restart consultant. That is the only thing you need.
But you also see occasionally, like, Dan Carter will, like, kind of cover his mouth and then have a hand signal up to his forwards to what he's going to do. And I'm always like, well, you're either kicking it... You can see if you're kicking it left. You're either going to kick it short or long, or you go down the middle. Or you... I just don't think it's that complicated.
Like, you the fourth option is obviously putting out on the field.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many trick plays you can do.
Anyway. Out on the field, get the scrum. When you know you've got a good scrum. Take the scrum ball. And thanks to long-time listener Lewis Forsyth, he sent us a really long email all about the need for a specialist restart coach, which we've just covered. Thanks a lot for that. Long time listener, third time emailer. So Lewis is probably the only person who's regularly emailing us. So.
Got to be our number one fan.
Yeah.
He's certainly there at the moment in that chart that we keep.
But in terms of Edinburgh overall, do you think there's been enough there? I think particularly the performance against Ulster was a lot better than the Ospreys. It's still a tough game. I think there's enough there to say, you know, they're going to have a good season. They should have a good season.
Yeah. I mean... I remember parts of last season, we weren't saying that the performance had particularly changed that much. It was more their ability to close out tight games. And twice in 2 weeks, we failed to close out a tight game.
That's a good point.
Last year, Edinburgh were winning matches in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We are now losing them. I mean, I still think, and having listened to you guys last week, the Kingspan going away to Ulster, they are an improved side from last year. That is not something that's an easy game.
No, it's not an easy game.
And to score 29 points, to lose it by a point, pick up a bonus point on the road, you know, it's not a disaster.
It's not a disaster, no.
And just think how intimidated Connacht are going to be when they turn up to Murrayfield.
Oh, that's bad.
4,500 people.
If that.
The burnt orange army, absolutely on their feet, filling the place.
Can't wait.
It's going to be good. I mean, my view is I do think Edinburgh are much better than they were last year. I just think a lot of teams have improved. I think they benefited from bigger teams. Like Ospreys were absolutely terrible last year. Ulster were absolutely terrible last year. And I think it's just possibly, and you know, we don't like to praise the Pro 14 too much. The quality of the teams across the board has probably gone up a little bit.
Apart from the Kings.
I'm worried about
apart from the Southern
Kings. I'm really worried about the Bennington matches.
Yeah.
They could do like a clean sweep of the Scottish teams.
Mate,
they're really good.
Benetton away.
I'm worried about Edinburgh's group because Benetton and Ulster have both won their first two games.
Yeah.
And you've got Scarlets and you've got Leinster. That is that's why that Ulster loss is so big.
Yeah.
Because it's actually like, it's almost like a two game swing. And Benetton, for some reason, are really good, but
they've won 10 of their last 13 games in the Pro 14.
Yeah, I think Edinburgh could struggle to get in the playoffs.
Haven't Benetton just got like lots of the Italian team plus some like sort of New Zealander and like sort of Islander imports?
And it works really well.
I wasn't saying that in a disparity.
Got a good coach. Like, got a good coach.
They got a good coach.
Who's the coach?
Kieran Crowley. I know nothing about him apart from the fact he's from New Zealand. And I base my assessment of him purely on that.
And Benetton being sweet.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So shall we have a look ahead?
Yes.
To the weekend, Friday night lights, 7:30, Edinburgh, welcome Connacht to the Big Bowl at Murrayfield.
The Cauldron.
I don't know how many tickets have been sold. It's probably somewhere between 4,000 and 65,000. I reckon there's a big old, there'll be a range. Swing. There'll be a range within there.
65,000. Just going to miss out on a sellout.
We've just missed out by 55,000 people. We've just missed out on it. That's a shame. Well, we've already seen Connacht. Glasgow got a last-minute victory against them a couple of weeks ago. Do you think this is Edinburgh's first win of the season, Matt?
Yes, I think so. I don't think Connacht have been great shakes this year. I think they're two losses from two.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think this would be... Edinburgh should have beaten them with a bonus point, I think.
Sorry, they won. They beat Zebre.
Well, fine. That's barely a victory, though. I think, yeah, Edinburgh should win with a bonus point, and hopefully it's, you know, a bit of a springboard for the upcoming matches.
Yep.
But the first two losses, fine. Get over it. Both away. Both just missed out. If they were going for a third loss at home to Connacht, then I think you're kind of going into a bit of shit. Is this season kind of coming off the rails a little bit?
And then Richard Cockerill goes to Leicester.
Yes, that is.
back to Leicester.
Because the thing is after they play, if they don't beat Connacht away, the next game is Leinster. Connacht at home. The next game is Leinster away.
Eesh.
So it's a pretty...
ridiculous start to the season.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough start.
I'm with Matt, though. I think I've seen enough in both of those Edinburgh games. I thought they were decent, but really rusty down against the Ospreys. I think the first 60 minutes of that performance against Ulster was really, really quality. And I think this weekend... Have they updated on Matta's injury? I haven't seen anything, but he went off injured.
I haven't seen anything, so hopefully it's not
too bad.
Hopefully
it's nothing too serious.
Really
he had to go off, and that made a big difference.
Bradbury was back. He's coming from injury. Playing for Melrose.
You see how much better is Bradbury than other Prem 1 players?
It's so unfair.
Joke.
So unfair.
Absolutely killing boys all around the park.
And like Glasgow Hawks, I was reading, had a guy who is on like a partnership deal with GHK. So this is his first ever game for Hawks, and he's been playing for GHK. It's like three leagues below Prem 1.
Yeah.
And he's meant to be tackling Magnus Bradbury.
And then Simon Bergen was playing prop for Borough Muir.
Yeah. Like, and Daryl Marfo.
Oh, Daryl. I haven't thought about Daryl for a wee while. Is he all right?
He's coming and back.
Is he coming back from injury?
He's on the comeback trail. Oh, I think so.
Mate, there must be some Scotland games around the corner.
Oh, yeah. He's back for the Autumn Internationals.
He only plays Scotland games.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
He's the Scottish Rich McConnell now. Just keep him in bubble wrap until the World Cup.
So I think Edinburgh win. Alan, do you think it's a win?
I think Cockerill is going to have absolutely beasted the Edinburgh team this week. And I think, yes.
It was quite strange. In his post-match interview, he was sort of like, yeah, I thought we played really well.
He was quite sanguine.
I thought he'd be absolutely tearing strips out of them.
Been utilising the Headspace app. He's getting very zen in his older age.
That's what Stockbridge does to a man.
I know.
It's changed him. It's changed him.
No, I think bonus point win for Edinburgh.
Three bonus point wins, that would be great. That would get them off. They're at the bottom of Conference B at the moment. Southern Kings have got two losing bonus points as well.
I know.
We're really scraping down there. And then Saturday evening, Cheetahs versus Glasgow. Glasgow on the first of their away South African swing. Alan, 3 from 3 for Glasgow?
Yeah, 100%. I don't actually think the Cheetahs are as good as they were last year, because quite a few of their like good players have just been moved across into Super Rugby.
And injuries as well.
Yeah. And obviously they've been essentially pumped by Munster and Ospreys in the sort of opening two games. I think that Glasgow team's going to go down and just be too strong. I don't think it's going to be an absolute hammering or anything, but I think that Glasgow team's got too much for the Cheetahs.
I think it's a really tough match, actually. I think it might be quite similar to the game last year, which was sort of, 36-35 in the end or something.
Potentially my favourite game of the year last year.
Yeah, but, you know, quite stressful.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'll be a close one. I actually wouldn't be that surprised if the Cheetahs won. And I wouldn't be that fussed.
All right.
Wouldn't be that fussed.
All right, mate.
I think Glasgow need to stop winning like the first 10 games of the season and training off. They need to lose and then build up, right? That's what you do. You peak.
Yeah.
So whether it's anything to do with deliberate peaking or not, a loss isn't so bad.
I am with Alan. I don't think it's going to be as easy as he says, but I think there is going to be a Glasgow win there. We're all at a wedding. We'll get a stream going on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Yeah, we'll stream it live.
That'd be okay, wouldn't it?
I think it's on during the dinner.
Oh, yeah. Have they got the big screen going?
Yeah.
Fine. Absolutely fine. So that'll be good. So we're predicting 2 wins. So I think Matt's being a Negatron for the week with the Glasgow. There's a couple of other bits I just want to pick up in our Twitter feed. We got a cryptic message. We asked what your talking points were. The King of Rock on Twitter says, is cue jumping at Fingers Piano Bar a good warm-up for the big game against Connacht? Apparently there was some Edinburgh lads, Fingers Piano Bar, last week.
I did that once before a National One game against Kelso, and I scored 2 tries. So, yeah, I think it actually is.
I mean, it's not like
good
it's
preparation.
Night,
it relaxes
not,
you.
It's not the night before, but, you know, the weekend before. Letting a bit of steam off after the lost Halston.
The boys just want to hear a bit of piano.
Yeah. It's what Deacon Blue, all right?
Yeah. Dignity by Deacon Blue.
Yeah, that's all they wanted.
With a blue WKD.
Yeah, just having a Diet Coke in the back, just listening to Deacon Blue.
So I'm just here for the music.
Yeah.
I'm here for the pianist.
And finally, just on Glasgow and their trip to South Africa, Lewis Anderson. So we're going to put you on the spot here, Lewis. You've said Nick Frisby to play some 10 in South Africa. Heard it here first. So, Lewis, if that happens, Alan will buy you a tropical VK.
Yes, that will happen.
That's the prize for your for looking ahead that far.
It could make sense. I could imagine them playing maybe Ali Price, Nick Frisby, 9-10.
Why not?
Yeah, maybe Lewis has got some insight. Maybe we should get him on the pod.
Yeah.
Let's see if that materializes. I think that's it for us, lads, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. That's all good.
Thanks again for joining us, catching up with us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. Please let us know what you think in the emails, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. We love your correspondence, and we'll get back with some GIFs and some really, really slanted polls on Instagram at thistle_rugby_pod. And we will see you next week. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. See
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.